such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. A very, very, very Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Let it snow, let it snow.
I say, yeah, let it snow, and so it has. It's supposed to snow tonight, too.
Yeah, let it snow.
Really snow?
But wait, what's wrong here? It's not Christmas, it's Easter.
Right.
So, and it's April. Already happy birthday to you, Tony,
to you,
and to Tyrone, and to myself, and to
all the April
birthdays.
All
Armin, I think Armin's birthday is in April.
Yeah.
Nick's birthday is in June, I remember.
Yeah.
June. I won't remember.
I won't remember that.
Christina's is in July.
Almost the 4th of July.
But here we are in the first week of
April
in the season of Easter, and it feels like Christmas.
Yeah, it's not spring.
It's cold. And to add to it, our heater's not on because somebody didn't think that, well, it's cold and maybe we should go down there and turn the heater on. I'm thinking of myself,
not you.
I'm
the one that's supposed to turn
Who would have thought, you know?
Yeah, because it was warm.
Anyway, I got to admit, it's really not that bad.
It's not that bad.
So what did they say? April showers bring May flowers? So snow showers bring what?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
So sometimes it snows in April.
Well, didn't they have the big snow one?
Yeah.
That great big snow they had
And
in
it was
Chicago?
Gone in a week.
Yeah, but it was a big,
it was a big snow.
And it
correct.
Was in April.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're happy for it because it's white.
Mm-hmm.
Snow, which
mm-hmm.
is, but it's not, I think it's gone now. There's nothing out there. So,
gone.
But it's supposed to snow tonight. That's
right. I
took
a little bit of salt down and it really didn't matter.
No,
it's already melted.
Anyway, so we're just kind of, we're not exaggerating because right here it does feel,
it's cold.
It's cold in the studio. But see, we'll heat it up here. So, hellfire and brimstone. No, we don't want to do that, especially in the Easter season.
Right.
But beautiful, and gosh, I'm sorry, I wanted to be on every day this week. That was my hope. And Monday, of course, it was after the Triduum, and then mm-hmm. Easter Sunday, and there's just no way I could have been on the radio. And for other reasons, I wasn't feeling well, and it was, we were just exhausted,
Everybody was exhausted.
And then I had a wake that, you know, I had to be in the funeral home in the afternoon. And then Monday and Tuesday I wanted to be on the radio, but we had a huge funeral. One of our students was in a car accident about 9 years ago, and he's been an invalid all this time. His mother and father have just so beautifully taken care of him,
mm-hmm.
Leonardo and Angelina, and he... He died on Palm Sunday, actually, Palm Sunday, after 9 years. And but because of the religious festivities, the High Holy Days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I do that, because it's the Jewish thing, they call it the High Holy Days. But these are our High Holy Days. And but because of those beautiful Triduum, we couldn't, everything was put on hold until after Easter. So, but it was a very big, big funeral. And in Chicago, you know, it's a funeral is a full time. I mean, a full day, because by the time I'd been to Ohio a couple of years ago. I had my uncle's funeral there, and it was I'm thinking Chicago because Chicago, unless the deacon goes to the cemetery, this time I had to go. Not that I had to go, but I wanted to go, but But the deacon was out of town as well. And so I But in the past, I always went, before we came on radio, I would always go to the cemetery mm-hmm. and all that. And it's a full, because the cemeteries are so far away.
Yeah.
Right. So I'd had my uncle's funeral a couple of years ago in a little town called St. Mary's in Ohio. And it was amazing. You know, we went to the church, and from the church we went to the cemetery, and that was only like a 5-minute drive.
Wow!
And it was everything was over in 2 hours. You know, whereas here it's always a very long. Yeah.
And then the previous day, you know, they have the wake service.
Right. Exactly. So it's
very draining.
So, but I mean, today, you know, not like in the past where they would have like 2-day wakes. Mm-hmm. That was the norm.
Yes.
2-day wakes.
But it's draining. It's tiresome.
Yeah, it is. Funerals are always draining.
Yes.
They really are.
Yes, they are.
Because you're dealing with
emotions.
You know, I have no skin, so I can feel the people's pain. Mm-hmm. I guess we all can, you know,
yes.
really. But, and you know, but you know what was amazing, I have to say, about this, the passing of the student's name was the student, I said, because he was one of our students. I don't know if he actually went to our school, but he was certainly part of the parish and went to CCD. But I think three of the students, they've got five children, three of them went to our school.
Yes, they did.
But I think Juan, I don't know if Juan did or not. But so it's been 9 years since he had the accident. He suffered this accident. And he was really an invalid.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have
mm-hmm.
round-the-clock care. And his mother and father, they did it, you know, all those years. But when he died, it was almost as if he had just had the people felt, his family and others as well, that those 9 years just went away. It was almost like they really felt the suddenness mm-hmm. of his death, even though it was like prolonged.
Yes.
But it was like everybody was taken back to the day that he had the accident, the car accident.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I
remember that day.
Yeah.
It was in February.
I happened to be in Rome. I was in sabbatical.
It was 2009.
Right.
I can't believe it's been so many
yes.
years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
actually, that day it was cold, cloudy, and we had a retreat here at the parish. It was a Divine Mercy retreat in preparation.
Sure.
And that happened in the morning.
Wow.
And so we found out, the parishioners found
yeah.
out about the accident.
Yeah, so. But yeah. God give him rest, you know, and it's the mystery of it all and how to, what does it all mean? But I tried to address it at the Mass, especially that, you know, God, he comes to us in so many ways, you know, and I'd like to speak about this a little bit today, too. You know, how do we witness the risen Christ, you know, because this is we're in the Easter season, the season of Easter. And so we're, especially this week, you know, we're hearing all the beautiful, beautiful stories from the gospel of this encounter that the people are having, the disciples, with the risen Christ. And it's beautiful, but I was just trying to, before I came down here, I was trying to download. This is a nice thing about the internet. The scene from the movie Jesus of Nazareth,
mm-hmm.
Zeffirelli's movie,
mm-hmm.
which happens to be my,
it's beautiful.
My favorite. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. I tend not to like to watch religious movies because it's always a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Always a disappointment. I want to get to that too, Jim Caviezel.
Caviezel,
yeah, because he's just a beautiful, a wonderful talk he gave to young people. He's in the movie. Paul. And he played Jesus in the Passion of the Christ. So, but anyway, going back to Zeffirelli's Jesus of Nazareth, the one scene that I remember, and I wanted to find it, and I got sidetracked because I found the flying nun. Did you ever see that, Christina? By the way,
I've seen bits and pieces.
You know, you
try
to download something, and first of all, I couldn't.
And this comes.
Yeah, I couldn't find it, but all of a sudden she popped up. You know, the flying nun, and so I Sally Field was the flying nun. I was in the junior high school at that time. I remember. And because I joined the fan club, you know, everybody was joining her fan club. It was funny, you know.
She had a fan club.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And and don't ask me why I joined it, but everybody else was, so I joined it as well. I
Did
remember.
Did they give you anything, like a letter? Or
I don't
a
remember.
Or
I just remember. Yeah, we got something, you know. But it was. I think that was the only fan club I was ever part of, and that's just because all the kids in the class were part of. That was a very big
how TV has changed.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, I got sidetracked
and flying nun because I couldn't find, I wanted to find Mary Magdalene's encounter. No, when she went to announce to the disciples that Jesus had written, that's the one scene that I was most moved by in the movie, and it was so beautiful. And so I thought, wow, gosh, I'd like to, because I haven't seen the movie since the 1980s. I think it came out in 1977 or something like that. And I saw it, the last time I saw it, I was in the seminary. Mm-hmm. But I remember that, and it was the first and last time I saw it, actually. Mm-hmm. But that scene, that one scene stays with me. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, okay, here we are, 30 years later, 40 years mm-hmm. later, whatever. It's hard to believe. But so and by the way, you know, forgive me, I'm all over, it just comes to mind. I have to say whatever comes to my mind. So at the funeral, we had the funeral, so we went to the cemetery. Well, one of the funeral directors was a student of mine when I was newly ordained a priest. Mm-hmm. So I saw him, and every so often I'll see him. And so we were talking at the cemetery. He's 48 years old.
40.
I couldn't believe it.
A student of yours?
A student of mine.
Wow.
He was in high school mm-hmm. when
wow.
I,
wow.
early years of high school when I was ordained a priest. But anyway, beside the point. But anyway, so, but that scene with Mary Magdalene mm-hmm. going to the cenacle, and she's knocking mm-hmm. on the door, she's trying to break open the door. And when they came, when they opened the door, because they were afraid, the apostles yeah. were afraid that what happened to Jesus would happen to them. And they hadn't yet heard. They hadn't yet experienced the risen mm-hmm. Christ. But that scene was so beautiful when she announces, you know, that I've seen the Lord. You know, mm-hmm. and it was very moving. Of course, they thought, you know, the tale of the woman, right?
What did you say? Women's fantasy.
The woman's fantasy.
Saint Peter. I loved Saint Peter. The way they portrayed him
in that movie.
In the movie, because every time I saw him, I still do see myself.
Yeah,
the scene where the fish, they were tired and he was like really in the bad
cranky
space,
in bad space. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like usually that was
sure.
His way
I can
of
see
being.
You there. Yeah.
So,
I see you there every day. Every day.
Yes, that's me. And so Jesus tells him go back and take the nets out of the boat and he rides in there and what's his name? Peter's like I will go preach to the fish and he's being so rebellious and
sure.
real cranky and just looking at Jesus the way. He's looking at Peter with so much love.
Sure.
Yeah. It's really moving.
I got to go back and see that movie because, as
it's
I said,
beautiful.
I normally don't like
that. It's funny you say that because a movie like that, and I think I've seen mm-hmm. Jesus Nazareth a few times, but I think about how much time goes by and you can say, well, the only thing you can say is Jesus of Nazareth, you know,
sure,
that stands
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And I think about like today's movies, especially like The Passion. I can't see The Passion again. I have tried many times.
Really? Why not? Why not?
It's just too much of a real story for me.
Sure.
And I can't see it.
It's
I can't
painful.
See the pain. It's almost like for Holy Week for me, or you know, when I'm reading The Passion, it's the same thing. And I think of even for greater glory, I loved that movie. That was a good. I can't see it again.
Yeah.
It just the material is so.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have to say that The Passion of Christ. I might have shared this before on the radio, mm-hmm. but. The first time I saw it, somebody took me, Derek from Ireland took me, and so I don't normally go, I rarely go out, as everybody knows, don't have the time. And, but everybody's talking about it, and mm-hmm. I did want to see it, and so we went, he took me to a mall,
right.
and that ruined it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like malls. I hate malls.
Yeah.
And so had to walk through the mall to get to the theater, and it just ruined it for me.
And it was a small theater too, right?
I don't remember. I just remember I didn't like the experience and didn't like the movie. His hair looked fake, you know, because I think it starts out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Father, did they have, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did they have previews before the movie?
Sorry.
I think you said...
Oh, yeah, and that's the other thing I hate.
Ruined,
I hate, yeah.
And when we went to a movie theater, it was huge, but... They didn't have the previews
sure.
at all. They just
That's
went right
thing.
Into the movie, which that makes a difference.
I guess it would. But people kept talking about how great it was, mm-hmm. and I kept thinking, I didn't like it at all. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And so I decided one day by myself to go to the in Illinois near the lake, the AMC or whatever
right.
it is.
River North, is it River North?
Somewhere over there.
Yeah.
To a
nice theater.
A theater.
Yes.
And I only saw two movies there, The Mission, right. and this was the second movie. Mm-hmm. And I went in the afternoon, and there were not a lot of people there. And I was really moved. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're right. Yeah, it started with the quote from the prophet Isaiah, mm-hmm. I think. And it was, and so I said, okay, now I get it. I understand. I
mean, the movie was, it's good. It's just that I can't bring myself to
I hear
see.
You. Yeah.
You know, I can't do it.
I don't know that I'd want to see it. The music was beautiful.
Yeah.
Christina plays it a lot during Lent.
And so the soundtrack,
on Holy Week, so you were playing it.
I was playing it over.
Which was beautiful because I can hear it in my office. Oh. But in that movie, the scene that I remember that most moved me mm-hmm. was, by the way, the devil in Gethsemane mm-hmm. when he was, and I've brought this into the homily several times, not recently, but when he kept asking the question, who is your father?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you do this? No man can do this. Who is your father? You know? And it was just the jealousy that Satan had mm-hmm. that that Jesus would have such a love for the Father that he would, and love for the people, the Father's love for that he would actually do this, go through this.
Yes.
And Jesus said, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, thy will be done. And then he begins to sweat the blood. So I thought that was a powerful scene. Yeah. And that's the thing, that's the one scene that strikes me. And then the other scene is when the Blessed Virgin Mary is wiping up the blood where he had been scourged. And that was very moving to me as well, the precious blood of her son, the precious blood of Christ, you know, and that there was just something very powerful about that image. This is the mother. This is even before he died, right? This is right after the scourging, and she's wiping the blood from the ground. This is the blood of her son. The blood of our Lord is so, but I tend to be disappointed with these movies I'll try to see. I got to see Jesus of Nazareth after I see this. The flying angel,
Jesus of
the flying
Nazareth.
Nun.
They always
first.
Played
it's supposed
it
to be
on...
funny. You're supposed to laugh. You're supposed to say
the flying. No,
that was funny, by the way. So the few clippings I saw were really funny.
Really good.
I've only seen bits and parts where she's flying.
I wouldn't join the fan club. I'm just saying.
I can't believe I did anyway.
Well, I was going to ask Father, what was I going to say? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, they used to show it every year during Lent. Mm. And it was like for a whole week.
Right, that's right.
It's
a
long movie.
Right.
I don't know how many hours it is.
Yeah.
So, and as kids, we always would sit down, as a family, actually, we would sit down and watch it.
Yeah. Somebody said, one of our parishioners said that on, what day it was, maybe Easter. They showed
the Ten Commandments.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
See, that I always watch.
I love that.
Oh, okay. It's
that
good,
one,
yeah.
That's a good one, too, with Charlton Heston, that version.
No, he told me he saw a Jesus Christ Superstar.
No, I don't like that. To me, that's a turnoff. I'm sorry.
I know. There's a lot of things. That's why I said it's hard for me to watch movies about Christ or about the Blessed Virgin, because they always disappoint.
There's another one,
The
King of Kings.
I've only seen bits and pieces of that, you know.
That's a good one, but for me it was always Jesus of Nazareth.
That was a beautiful movie. Yes. Yeah.
I like Godspell. I mean, it's just a part of
it.
Well, it was that era, you know. So.
Yeah. Godspell, I never.
Not so much Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar, Godspell.
It's
on the same genre, whatever.
It's just like a musical. They made it a musical, but it was.
Is that in the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't care for the
70s. I like the music. I'm just me.
Anyway, we got to take a break, and then I've got a few things. Did I leave you hanging somewhere? Was I supposed to say something that I didn't say?
No.
Okay, so I've come
we'll just
full circle.
Get back on track.
Okay, all right. Anyway, so we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the listener support of Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I hope and I trust that everybody had a beautiful Triduum. We're in the Easter season, so, you know, we can say Happy Easter for 50 days.
Yes.
40 days, 50 days. It's a 40-day season, and then there's the 9-day novena, you know, from the Ascension to Pentecost. That's where we get the whole novena, when the apostles are told to go and remain in prayer, and they were there with the Blessed Virgin Mary until the waiting the Holy Spirit, which empowered the church then. They were imbued with the very life of God, with the very life of Christ, to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, to forgive sins, to preach repentance of sin. And so it's just a very beautiful season. The Triduum is so powerful. And you know, thank God, you know, as much as I complain about the technology, I'm acknowledging the good of technology today, you know. It gave me a chance to see a little bit of the flying nun. And I'm just joking, but I couldn't believe that popped up, you know, and as I'm looking at all these, because I couldn't find the one I was looking for. But we live streamed. Is that what we said? Stream live stream?
On Facebook.
Live stream.
The Triduum.
Yes.
One of our, on the Facebook.
Yes.
And it was quite a beautiful thing, because I'm not on Facebook. I didn't see it, but but we had responses from Vietnam, from Indonesia, from South America,
all over the world.
Yeah, people who watched it. And people who were very grateful because they couldn't go. There's this group in, I don't know if it was a family or what, but I got to find out. One of the guys, at Wojtek, who does the streamlining, he got the response. And they had no access to a church, and so they were just happy. How they were able to get in, who knows? But so that's the good side.
Yes, and a lot of people that are homebound, that are sick, older people,
right?
They were so. I saw some of the responses, Father. Mm. Beautiful.
In fact, Frank's our operation director, his mother, just a wonderful woman. I've never met her, but I know her.
Through Frank, yes.
Yeah, through Frank, and I've talked to her once on the phone. And she's the old time,
very devout,
very devout, old, yeah. Very very humble. Very serious Catholic, you know, but she's in her 80s and she's more or less homebound to a certain extent, I think. Sure. But she's had some setbacks in the last year, and the daughter brought the so they could watch the mass.
The mass.
But I guess there's a way you can project it onto the television.
Yeah, there is.
Wow.
And so I don't know if it was the Holy Saturday or Good Friday or what, but. Then the daughter left, or the granddaughter, one of the two, left and had to turn it off. But it was before the service was over, before the liturgy was over. And she was so, Frank said, she was so angry, you know.
Yes.
How could they do it? You know, what? It's gone. They couldn't follow through. Right. They couldn't finish it. But it is. It was a beautiful thing.
It was,
yeah. Now, did they stream all of it or just pieces?
Did. No.
The whole thing.
Wow.
The whole thing.
Because I don't have that, you know, when somebody shows you, it's like you don't have the, I can't sit there and watch it for a whole hour.
No, it's more than an hour, too.
But it's broken up, so the little bit that I saw was good.
But yeah, I didn't see it.
No, it's nice. It's the whole thing.
I mean, it draws you in.
You can fast forward.
Oh, see, I didn't know. I thought it was just like
fast forward to the homily, right?
Something you don't want to do.
Right. Anyway.
I was fast-forwarding the part where the choir came. Well, they focused on my dad and I. We were singing. I fast-forwarded.
Did you really?
I did not want to see myself. Yeah.
Oh, you could see yourself?
Yes, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I fast-forwarded.
See, that's rubbing off on me. I did the reading. It's like, I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to hear it.
Isn't that funny? We're like that.
But the singing was very... Yeah. Hearing it on the stream.
It was very beautiful. It was very, very nice. Choir
I could almost,
nice
since
job.
I was there, I could yeah. close my yeah. eyes and know I, you know.
Absolutely.
It was, yeah. But it was funny that Wojciech, he went upstairs to the choir loft as we were singing, and I wasn't even aware. I was looking at my music, mm-hmm. and he said that when the choir members saw him, they were hiding.
Oh, I'm sure.
They didn't want to come on, and I was totally, like, oblivious.
Yeah. No, you knew the camera was right. there.
Christina caught the side
and
of
you put
right.
a big smile on your face, yeah. and you really started just having...
Holding her earphones.
Exactly. Yeah, don't pull any... the wool over our eyes, you know, we know. But, no, I don't watch it purposely. I don't have Facebook anyway, but they try to... Your father down over the phone, I said, I don't even want to see it. Yeah. Nothing for me is beautiful as live.
Yeah,
to be there in the live.
Oh, because your experience.
Yeah, of, yeah. There's just something. Yeah.
Well, the presence.
But if it's effective and it served the people yeah. well, then that's a good
and
thing.
And people were so appreciative, Father. Oh, they were so happy.
That's good.
Anyway, so speaking of that, you know, so we've just been through the whole the Triduum, mm-hmm. which is Holy Thursday, and by the way, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Good. Holy Saturday, I spoke about this on Sunday, I think, but it just occurred to me, and I probably spoke about it on Good Friday because we were on the radio, mm-hmm. Good Friday. But the to eat as in flight, you know, yeah. eat as in flight, and so we, you know, this always caught my attention, you know, from the Book of Exodus, as the Israelites are preparing for their liberation from their slavery in Egypt. The Hebrews, and they're to kill the lamb, eat the meat, eat the unleavened bread, and eat as in flight. And so we talked about that, flight from what? But flight from their slavery. But we too, you know, and we spoke about that. We eat, I was thinking about how we come to the Mass, we are reminded, our hearts and minds are reopened to the beauty and the wonder, the Word of God, you know, the teaching, the life of Jesus and the apostles and the disciples and the holy women, and the whole message, the Old Testament, everything. And so we're, but then we move to the liturgy of the Eucharist, where the perpetuation, the renewal of the paschal suffering, the passion of Jesus, is suffering, death, and resurrection. But it's that one event. The messianic hour when he gave over his life, he laid down his life, he entered into death, he surrendered his spirit into your hands, I commend my spirit to the Father, it is finished. This is very, very powerful this year when I get, it is finished. We talked about that anyway, so I'm going to go back over that, the last seven words. But I was thinking about how we too, when we come to Eucharist, we eat as in flight, a flight from the seven deadly sins, the idolatry, the deceptions, the seductions, the illusion of the enemy, because all that's very real in the world, and so we can't allow ourselves to become overtaken or that we cave or compromise the gift of our faith for what is really passing away or what has the potential for bringing us into our own slavery, you know. But the other thing was, and this was the thing on Holy Saturday, was the, and again, I always forget, and I can't but resist, you know, singing, as a, not with a not like with Christina's voice, you know, or any of those in the choir, but you know, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. That was the message that Jesus gave to the women. To go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will encounter me. I will see them. And so there's this journey. We talk about the journey, but it's also the quest. So our whole life is a journey, a pilgrimage. We're moving toward the full realization of God who remains for us a mystery. that God is present. He's here with us in our midst, but he's also rather hidden, you know. And what I wanted to go back to, there was a point I wanted to make about Juan who died, how Jesus comes to us in the Word of God through the sacraments, but also through the least among us. And so his parents, in serving that their mm-hmm. son, you know, caring for him for 9 years, they were, you know, why? But would God allow that? Because it's to keep us always conscious of how life is very fragile. Life is precious, but it's very fragile. And in an instant, it can pass away. And so we have to take care of the least among us. You know, this is part of the witness to our love for God is, and he allows himself to come to us in the least of all members, right? That's why we are so defenders of the sanctity of life, or, you know, that this 9 years, the children, others, people in the parish had to, you know, we knew that these parents were, that their whole life had become a living sacrifice in caring for this son as a reminder to us. Does it make sense, right?
Yes.
But anyway, so life is this journey. We're moving toward the full realization of God's kingdom. It's also in that journey where we're taking flight from what can bind us or what can enslave us. But it's also the quest insofar as we are in expectation of this encounter with Jesus. So he comes to us, yes, in the Word of God, in the sacraments. That keeps us grounded. That's why we have a law. He gave us the commandment to keep the holy of the Sabbath, to gather in sacred assembly for the sacred worship of God, to give public witness and worship. We're there fed with the Word of God. We're fed with the Eucharistic gift, mm-hmm. the hidden manna, the bread from heaven, that we not collapse as we go on our way, and that we continue in this quest for God, because he comes to us in these ways. But then we have to be open to, because once Mass means mission, as I've said many times, missio, mission. We're a people with a mission. We've been set apart. That was one of the readings, too, that we've been set up. I think it was St. Peter who writes about this, that we've been set apart, chosen from among the people to give witness to Christ, to be light in the darkness. And so for a purpose. And so we're in the world. We're not. And that was the other thing I was thinking about, too, even as we did this Facebook stream live mm-hmm. or live stream. But there's nothing private about what we do. You know, in other words, we're not a secret society mm-hmm. so that everybody can see, everybody can participate to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't receive the sacrament if you don't profess faith in Christ Jesus and you're not baptized and you've repented of sin and you set into that, you come into this mystical body and you join us on the journey, which is a quest as well. But I was thinking about how we're not a secret society as some religions are, you know, in a sense. You can't know what's going on in their worship. I could name, I think, the Church of Scientology, I think Mormonism, I think, in the temple, although people now with the phones and all that, they can expose a lot of what goes on. But we're not, there's nothing, we don't hide anything. Mm-hmm. We're out there. It's in the public domain. We have our sacred space, but anybody can come in. Again, cannot participate if you don't believe, if you're not prepared and baptized. But the point is, and we'll take a break here, is this idea of quest. You know, when Jesus told the women, tell my brothers to go to Galilee, there they will see me. So they in a sense, we're in journey, but also in flight, but also in the quest. So that when we we're grounded in the sacraments, in the Word of God, but then we have to live life in the world, in the battleground, you know, fight the good fight, and we're up against the powers and the principalities, and we get, yes, like those two disciples we heard yesterday in the gospel on yesterday's Mass, the two on the road to Emmaus, who are confused and confounded and downtrodden and all that, and Jesus appears to them, the risen Christ, and, you know, why are you so sad? Wasn't this, or they say, are you the only one? You're the only one who doesn't know what has happened. We thought he was the one. And Jesus says, but, you know, I love in the Spanish, que insensatos. Mm-hmm. How quickly you forget. Wasn't it written? And he opens up the scriptures, the Hebrew scripture. It was all foretold. But they only recognize him when he pretends to go on as they come to this juncture in the road, and they're leaving Jerusalem. And he said, "Sir, come and stay with us. It's getting late." Jesus went into their house. He sat down at the table, and he took the bread. He blessed. He did what he did on Holy Thursday. This is the day of the resurrection in the evening. And he blessed the bread, broke it, gave thanks, and he vanished. And then they looked at each other, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn to us as he spoke to us? It is true, he has risen as he promised." And they went immediately back. So Jesus left the bread. And so 2,000 years later, you know, this is how we recognize him. You know, even under the hidden guise of bread and wine, it's his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus feeds us that we not collapse so that we can continue in the journey, but in the quest. And even as we're getting beaten up in the world, so to speak, or we're tempted or we're confused or we have doubts, you know, that we persevere in the quest, and in unexpected times, he comes to us. He comes to us. He'll reveal himself to us, and we'll know it. You know, we'll see with the eyes of our soul. Everybody's got their story. If people don't, it's just like we've got to be open to that reality, you know? So anyway, we'll take a break, I want to go back to something that I read that you've heard probably, If I Were the Devil. Do you remember that, Paul Harvey? If I Were the Devil. And then also Jim Caviezel. And the question is, how do we give witness to the risen Christ or Christ alive among us? All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Alethea. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit, because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, you know, a couple of things, and I want to get into this. If I Were the Devil, Paul Harvey, who died some years ago, but first of all, you know, we talked about the good in technology, Facebook and all that. I'm not on Facebook, but so I was reading the other day. So Franciscan University, Steubenville, which is very orthodox, very strong. Good fruit has come from the work of the Franciscans at the Franciscan University. So they, on their Facebook, they had a series of ads on Facebook Friday, this past Friday, mm-hmm. to promote some of the its online theology programs. But one of them was rejected by Facebook because it included the crucifixion of Christ on the San Damiano cross, which is a very it's the Franciscan cross, but it's a very it's not graphic at all, the crucifixion. But they rejected the content, saying that it was shocking, sensational, and excessively violent. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
It was so strange. And the university responded by saying, "You're right. You're right." But, you know, so, you know, the world we live in, you know, when you think about, you know, go back to the, I can't believe this, because we were talking to Gail Rustenkowski yesterday. Yes. Her father was a congressman, and we were just reminiscing about the old days, the old days back when we were kids and how wonderful it was then, you know, and even then people thought we were, you know, on our way to hell.
Right.
But compared to some of the stuff that's going on today. But anyway, you know, if you think about a time, Christina, you might know this. I don't know. I mean, well, you're not so young anymore. By the way, you should probably know this.
I tell people I'm not that young.
I keep thinking you're like in your 20s, but you're not.
And that's what people think. I'm like, no, I'm way beyond that.
Like my student, I couldn't believe he's 48 years old.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. But then I wasn't too much older than him. But I thought I was much older at the time, mm-hmm. you know. And I am 14 years old or so. But in any case, you know, when you think about when the culture was Christian, really, mm-hmm. regardless of whether it was Catholic or whether it was Protestant, but, you know, at this time of year, the everything changed. You know, Easter, the people went from black shoes to white shoes. Mm-hmm. They wore the white gloves, you know, and the white veils and all that.
Top hats,
whatever. But, you know, there was this kind of a cultural thing mm-hmm. that happened that was all centered around Easter. In preparation for Easter, you did your Easter cleaning because it was all, everything was kind of woven into the religious mm-hmm. sentiment and religious practices of the culture, the nation, generally speaking, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, so we're really going back to like the 1950s, early 1960s. I was born in 1955, so I do remember, you know, not we didn't wear the white shoes, but the girls were there. You know, they everything changed, right?
Right.
Even the nuns. Speaking of the flying nun,
yeah.
The nuns went from the black habit into the white habit mm-hmm. at Easter time, I think. You know,
yes.
Or in May or whatever. But the things began to change in the 1960s. Now that change was happening already, you know, before that. But Paul Harvey, you don't know who he is, do you, Christina?
No.
But he was he would have these like maybe 3 minute mm-hmm. a radio show that only was like 3 minutes every day, and everybody in the country listened to him.
Right. Wow.
And it was like words of wisdom, right?
Mm.
So in the 1960s, he said, this was in 1964, mind you, and then it was revised a little bit in 1990, in the late 1990s. But he said, if I were the devil, now listen to this, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I should set about however necessary to take over the United States. I would begin with campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whisper to Eve, do as you please. To the young I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide what was bad is good and what is good is square. So square already tells you it was the 1960s, right? In the ears of the young married, I would whisper that work is debasing, that cocktail parties are good for you. I would caution them not to be extreme in religion, in patriotism, in moral conduct. And the old I would teach to pray, to say after me, Our Father, which are in Washington, which is in Washington. Then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull, uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd infiltrate unions and urge more loafing, less work, idle hands usually work for me. I'd peddle narcotics, drugs, to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, I would refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Let those run wild. I designate an atheist to front for me before the highest courts, and I'd get preachers to say she's right. With flattery and promises of power, I would get the courts to vote against God and in favor of pornography. Then in his own churches, I'd substitute psychology for religion and deify science. If I were Satan, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. Then my police state would force everybody back to work. Then I would separate families, putting children in uniform, women in coal mines, and objectors in slave labor camps. If I were Satan, I'd just keep doing what I'm doing, and the whole world would go to hell as sure as the devil. That was in 1965. That was all written in 1965, when you think about that, right? In 1996, he revised it. And he just, like with the wisdom of a serpent, I whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince the children that man created God instead of the other way. I'd confine what's bad as good and what's good as square. I already said that. There were some other changes. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellect by neglect to discipline emotions. I'd tell teachers to let those students run wild. And before you knew it, you'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors in every schoolhouse.
Interesting.
Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. It really gets pretty bad. But it's true. It's true. There has been radical change in the society, and it was already in the making, way back when. I happened to see a little bit of Roseanne.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Because I was reading about it and 18 million viewers and all that.
It's
and
funny, I thought, if you didn't know anything about that, would you have sat and looked at that?
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. No. It's how today is. You talk about something, and I think a lot of what's going on with that show is the talking about.
Sure.
And then people go and they see it, and it's like, what?
I guess it's got good ratings, but yeah. I just find the whole thing gross.
Yeah.
Even though they're trying to deal with issues, it's kind of, where is dignity and grace and civility and, certain, we live in a strange time.
I grew up as a kid watching all of those shows. I was watching TV all the time. Today, there's really no reason to look at TV.
Probably not.
Unless you're watching the old, black and white movies.
Yeah, you go back to some of those sitcoms.
Yeah, the nice ones.
Roseanne was a sitcom. I think about it when I was younger. Yeah, I watched it, but it was never anything you really wanted to see all the time. You look at some of those black and white shows that you can see on MeTV. You sit there and you're mesmerized.
But did we morph into this kind of decadent society?
Yeah. It reflects
Does this reflect the society, or does the society reflect, or maybe it's just a mutual thing?
I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Nick, you want me to take a break now? We'll take a break. No, keep going. All right, one second. Take a break. Okay, we'll take a break, and then we'll be right back. I do want to get into this, Jim Caviezel, his words as well. Okay, don't go. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portal Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And I guess we'll continue talking about the, you know, we haven't really addressed the, answered the question, how do we give witness? Mm-hmm. Well, certainly in word and deed. Mm-hmm. But Jim Caviezel, you know, and we can go on, woe is us, you know, where are we, you know, what has happened? But people, enough people know that there's been radical change, and we are in a society today where it's very hard to have civil discourse because the people are so divided. And it's a lot of the division is a manipulation via the media, via certain politicians, fake news, and all that. I hate to say that because you know, but it there is. You don't know. You've got to be kind of astute, and you've got to be discerning, and you've got to be grounded somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if we're not grounded in the faith, and this is something that we didn't get into, but we'll be back. You know, I think Father Jeff is going to be here tomorrow. Jeff Hammond. we've got to be grounded in the commandments of God. Our love of God is reflected in our adhering to the commandments of God. St. John is going to remind us that this Sunday, and that we love God's people, and we've got to be countercultural. We can't cave or compromise what has been clearly handed down to us. You know, this is the great divide in our nation. Today, mm-hmm. I going back to the Roseanne, the things I saw, it's raw. It's too gross for me. It's too gross. It's too, you know, if we want to call that comedy, and I just, where's the dignity gone? So Jim Caviezel, who just this beautiful, if you can even catch it on, Armin had sent it to me, so I don't know exactly where you get it, but. You know, these days I say with the internet, you can. He's
YouTube or something.
YouTube. He spoke to the students at, I believe it was the Franciscan University, and he was speaking about his. He's starring right now in Paul, Apostle of Christ. I think he's playing the role of Luke, a disciple of Paul, and but he talked about how he chooses films which bring the most souls back to God, and that while playing Jesus in the Passion of the Christ. He had a sense that God wanted him to act in films that evangelize. And he says that, you know, when God came close to me in The Passion, the movie, it was when I was on the cross. And he said, I heard the Lord speak to me and said, they don't love me. There are very few. And I was like, well, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to tell you that I love you. I'm going to tell it publicly. And I don't care. I'm less afraid of ISIS than I am of the media. That's what he was telling the students. But he said this is what he heard from the cross. When he was hanging on the cross, playing the role of Jesus, they don't love me. Very few love me. And think about that. Really think about that.
Wow.
And he could force himself on us, but would that be love? I don't think so. I'm so blessed. He's Jim Caviezel. Mm-hmm. Is that I'm so blessed because I get to convey these stories, but do it in a way that I know can bring the most souls back to him, even those who they don't believe. And he says, you know, I make it my prayer, and we should all make it our prayer. Lord, I don't want the world to see me. I want them to see you. You got to get closer to me. You got to, in other words, take possession of my life. These are the goals of Christianity. And this is why people reject the faith, because it means, as Jesus said, die to yourself, lose yourself, decrease, so that it's not you who live, but I who live in you. But if I live in you, then you're going to, you know, your true self is going to come through. Because you've been created in my, and it's not like we're all going to be the same. No, he honors, we're the same, but we're distinct. Mm-hmm. And God can use us all in so many different ways. So it's something to think about is, how do we evangelize? How do we say, Lord, or we say it, but, you know, can we humble ourselves and say, Lord, get me out of the way? But we can only do that if we've seen the Lord. And see, this is what we're hearing today, or these weeks, these days in this Easter season, that I just love it, you know, and we're going to hear it on Sunday. When Thomas goes to the upper room and the disciples said, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. When Mary Magdalene went, I've seen the Lord. You know, there's something transformative about having the experience of Christ risen. And it's an experience that is being extended to each and every one if we would just but humble ourselves and know that it remains a mystery, but a beautiful mystery. But when Thomas, you know, the doubting Thomas, when he finally realizes, what does he say? But wrote it in this letter, in a whisper, in an astonishing way, just my Lord and my God, because in worship, you know, we see him, but we have to be on that quest so that we can recognize him in the many ways that he comes to us, and our prayer has to be as Jim Caviezel mm-hmm. is saying that, let me get out of the way. Don't let me be an impediment to you. But he told the young people, he says, you know, that he spoke very, very pointedly about the world. As Jesus says, they no longer love me. Very few love me. And Jim Caviezel said, we're in a corrupt generation, as St. Paul says. We've got to be saints. You weren't made to fit in, my brothers and sisters, he says. You were born to stand out. Set yourself apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. He says, we are at war with the most dangerous enemy who wants to strip us of our freedom of having the right to do what we ought. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists not to do what you like, nice. But having the right to do what we ought. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. And he said, we have to be willing and ready to risk our lives and reputations to defeat evil in the world. Only through faith in Christ's wisdom can we be saved. But still, we got to be prepared to fight, sacrifice, and suffer. It means we've got to be committed to prayer, to fast, and to meditate on Holy Scripture, and to participate in the Holy Sacraments seriously, seriously. And then we give witness, Jesus living in us and through us. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.